Isabel Forrester stood looking down at the garden from her bedroom window in the house on the Rue de Grenelle in the 7th arrondissement in Paris. It was the house she and Gordon had lived in for the past 20 years, and both her children had been born there. It had been built in the 18th century and had tall, imposing bronze doors on the street that led to the inner courtyard. The house itself was built in a U-shape around the courtyard. The house was familiar and old and beautiful, with tall ceilings and splendid boiseries, lovely moldings, and parquet floors the color of brandy. Everything around her shone and was impeccably tended. Isabel ran the house with artistry and precision and a firm but gentle hand. The garden was exquisitely manicured, and the white roses she'd planted years before were often called the most beautiful in Paris. The house was filled with the antiques she and Gordon had collected over the years, locally and on their travels, and a number of them had been her parents'. Everything in the house shone. The wood was perfectly oiled, the silver polished, the crystal sconces on the walls sparkled in the bright June sun that filtered through the curtains into her bedroom. Isabel turned from the view of her rose garden with a small sigh. She was torn about leaving Paris that afternoon. She so seldom went anywhere anymore, the opportunities were so rare. And now that she had a chance to go, she felt guilty about it, because of Teddy. Isabel's daughter, Sophie, had left for Portugal with friends the day before. She was 18 years old and going to university in the fall. It was Isabel's son, Theodore, who kept her at home, and had for 14 years now. Born 3 months premature, he had been badly damaged at birth, and as a result, his lungs had not developed properly, which in turn had weakened his heart. He was tutored at home and had never been to school. At 14, he had been bedridden for most of his life and moved around the house in a wheelchair whenever he was too weak to do so under his own steam. When the weather was warm, Isabel wheeled him into the garden, and depending on how he felt, he would walk a little bit or just sit. His spirit was indomitable, and his eyes shone the moment his mother came into the room. He always had something funny to say, or something to tell her. Theirs was a bond that defied words and time and years, and the private terrors they had faced together. At times, she felt as though they were two people with one soul. She willed life and strength into him, talked to him for hours, read to him, held him in her arms when he was too weak and breathless to speak, and made him laugh whenever she could. He saw life as she did. He always reminded her of a tiny fragile bird with broken wings. She and Gordon had spoken to his doctors of a heart-lung transplant performed in the States, but their conclusion was that he was too weak to survive the surgery, or perhaps even the trip. So there was no question of risking either. Theodore's world consisted of his mother and sister and was limited by the elegant confines of the house on the Rue de Grenelle. His father had always been uncomfortable in the face of his illness, and Teddy had had nurses all his life, but it was his mother who tended to him most of the time. She had long since abandoned her friends, her own pursuits, and any semblance of a life of her own. Her only forays into the world in recent years were in the evening with Gordon, and only rarely. Her entire mission in life was keeping Teddy alive and happy. It had taken time and attention away from his sister, Sophie, over the years, but she seemed to understand it, and Isabel was always loving to her. It was just that Teddy had to be the priority. His life depended on it. In the past 4 months, ever since the early spring, Theodore had been better, which was allowing his mother this rare and much anticipated trip to London. It had been Bill Robinson's suggestion, a seemingly impossible one at first glance. Isabel and Bill had met 4 years before at a reception given by the American ambassador to France, who was an old classmate of Gordon's from Princeton. Bill was in politics and was known to be one of the most powerful men in Washington, and probably the wealthiest. Gordon had told her that William Robinson had been responsible for putting the last president in the Oval Office. He had inherited a vast, almost immeasurable fortune, and had been drawn to politics and the power it afforded him since his youth. It suited him, and he, in fact, preferred to remain behind the scenes. He was a power broker and a kingmaker, but what had impressed Isabel was how quiet and unpretentious he was when they met. When Gordon explained Bill's circumstances to her, it seemed hard to believe that he was either as wealthy or as powerful as he was. Bill was enormously unassuming and discreet, and she had instantly liked that about him. He was easygoing and looked surprisingly young, and he had a quick sense of humor. She had sat next to him at dinner and enjoyed his company immensely. She was pleased and surprised when he wrote to her the following week, and then later sent her an out-of-print art book they had discussed, which she had told him she had been hunting for ages. With far more pressing pursuits at hand, she had been amazed that he remembered, and touched that he had gone to the trouble of finding it and sending it to her.